had about a quarter of an inch of that pin still holding the other side. And I'm like, okay. And usually I go get a big hammer and hit that sucker three or four times to get it to flatten, get back on there. So I went and got my dead blow hammer and tractor sitting there all shut off. I'm letting it cool down. You know, don't put it, you don't work it hard and put it away wet, right? So I took my hammer and I reared back like this and I went boom. And when I did, that pin shot out the other side like a bullet and disappeared. I had no idea where it, it's a metal tractor, but it never hit metal. I'm like, where'd he go, Lord? And I'm looking all over this tractor, looking in the hoses. And I'm like, well, I start looking underneath the tires. I'm looking. I'm like, God, where is this pin? It's an inch and an eighth thick by 8 inches long. You don't just lose a pin like that. I did. And so anyhow, I'm looking. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to lay down on the rock. So I went and got cardboard, and I'm laying down there. I'm like, it's got to be up here in the frame rail somewhere. It had to. Falling on the hoses or something that's running through there. I'm reaching underneath there. You know, the tractor's nice and cool, the oil pan area and the side of the engine, and I'm burning myself. And I look off to my left, and I just laughed. I said, God, you are amazing. There's that 9/16 socket stuck on a bolt that I had put on 2 months ago. I have put 20 miles on the road on that tractor. And that socket is still there. Well, I couldn't get out, so I went and got a pair of pliers. I was going to work it off the bolt. And as I'm coming back, God says, the pin's in the box. I already looked there, Lord. I moved the battery and everything, looked. Okay, so I got my thing down, put everything away, and then I went back around, climbed up on the tractor. And it wasn't there, so I moved the battery the other way. That battery, or that 8-inch long pin, had shot a gap that wide to go behind the battery and behind my gauges. And it was dark and a dirty pin, and I could not see that pin because it was standing straight up and down. What are the odds? I was not going to find that pin anytime soon. But God showed me. And in the process of showing me, he taught me to trust him, to follow his leading. I thought, okay, I'll get this. All I wanted to do was measure it. I had my tape measure. I was going to measure it because I thought, I can't get that rolled pin out. I'm just going to go buy a new one. And I'm measuring it. Okay, inch and eighth. You got to be kidding me. I'm hot. I'm tired. I want to go in. But by following the leading of the Holy Spirit to crawl down, he kept leading me down. I'm like, it's not on the ground, Lord. I can see that. And it never hit metal. But he showed me where something I was looking for was at. Today's message is called To Be Led or To Be Driven. Now, in our ever self-help world we have, I'm not saying being highly motivated and all that stuff is a bad thing. You need to listen to the message before you judge me. But what I'm going to tell you, though, is being led by the Holy Spirit and by God is different than being driven. I've heard people, I'm driven to success. You know what? I don't have $1 million. I don't drive a Maserati. I owe a mortgage on my house. I don't go to Maui. I consider myself successful. My sons are good men. They've married good women. I'm believing for the third. My grandchildren are fantastic. My church family is awesome. But Pastor, you could do more, and I could do less. But one thing I will tell you I've learned over the years, folks, is only do what God has told you to do. I have been told by people, you need to go do this. One guy told me I needed to go to London and carry a wooden cross through the streets of London. Why? Well, you just need the experience. I ain't ever been in prison, but I don't think I need that experience either. And God began to show me at that point, I don't need to do everything that everybody else thinks I need to do. I need to do what He's telling me to do. I went to Ukraine. It was good to be able to minister to people. I was miserable. Was it 12 days total? I was miserable. I knew it wasn't God's will. It was just miserable. I was lonely. The interpreter had to be with him so that he could converse. You try being a preacher, somebody likes to talk, and have to keep your mouth shut for 12 days. That's difficult. And so, at that point, that's when God started showing us, you don't need to do what everybody else thinks you need to do to be a pastor. I called you to be this. Many of my friends I know that are pastors, they're all, you need to be out doing this, you need to be. You know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, thank you very much. Paul told Timothy. One, God didn't tell Timothy. Maybe God was speaking through him. I don't know. Paul was not a pastor. Timothy was. Timothy had some freaky deaky stuff going on in his church. And he was a young man trying to lead people closer to God, and yet he had people who thought they knew more trying to tell him how to do it. And they had never done it. Personally, I like to find somebody who's done something and knows how to do it. You know? When I got questions for my tractors, I got two people I go to because they worked on them or work on them. Hey, what about this? You know, and here's what the hilarious part is. The last thing I asked them about, they both said, find somebody who knows about those. I'm like, okay, Lord, you don't have to tell me a third time. I have a double confirmation here. I'm not supposed to take that valve apart. It looks so simple. Yeah, pictures lie. But I find somebody who has done it. Somebody who knows what they're doing. When God told us to start this church, I'd never done it. I had built churches. I've been doing that stuff since I was 10. My entire childhood was building a church, doing something in the church, maintenance on the church, mowing the yard, mowing the pastor's yard, doing whatever needed to be done. I'm the guy that they stuck up underneath those tiny places nobody wanted to go. So it's a good thing I'm not claustrophobic. And yet when God said, this is what you're doing, I'm like, I don't know how to do it. He said, but I do know somebody who does. Go to Pastor Dosek. I didn't need him to hold my hand. I needed to know how to do it. It wasn't a question, oh, are you going to do it? Are you going to start a church? No, I did. There was no doubt in my mind we were going to do it. I just needed to know the legalities of certain things. I needed to know the ins and outs, what to look for, what to watch for. And the other things that he didn't teach me, I have learned since I was 8. I've watched people come into the church. We've had people come here try to pronounce a curse. Had one lady come in here, after she had asked if she could come in and pray. And that don't happen anymore. Stand outside and pray if you really want to pray. But she came in and said, went off and told somebody else, I got this. They didn't know the connection. Oh, that pastor, I've never met him. He's got a spirit of lust. I think I've addressed that with y'all. You know, pornography, that's where it's rooted in. I've addressed it and I know I'm not alone. Went off telling the other parts. Well, it wasn't even in Marion County's where it started. By the way, do you know the church that she went and told it and they started to embrace it? That thing imploded. I'm like, I'm nothing special. I just obeyed. I followed where God led. Psalm 23. What version is this? Okay, we're going to read this. We don't know what version's on there, but yeah, okay. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Let's keep reading. Did I put four on that one? Okay. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It must be King James. Too many eth and thys in there. He leads. God never drives his people. He always leads them. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When Angela and I started dating, the farm world wasn't exactly new to me, but the intricacies of the working of the farm was. I'd grown up around farms, in the middle of farm fields, everything. Wave at the neighbor while he's on his combine, you know. But this was my first time actually being up close to the animals. And, you know, my mom, her dad was a pipe fitter for Union Carbide. And so they lived in a town. They weren't country people. So she had in her mind what people had told her that cows will do. So the first time we went up to see the neighbors, and she said, you want to go out and see the pigs and the cows? And I said, sure. She said, well, go out there. I'm 6 years old, man. I've never been around this stuff. I've lived in Cleveland, Hilliard, Charleston. I ain't never been around this stuff. This is unique, Grove City. This is unique to me. And I go out there, and my mom's like, you be careful, them cows will bite you. Man, you imagine when that cow stuck its tongue out to try to lick me, what I thought? It's trying to eat me! Come to find out, no, cows don't eat meat. They aren't interested in biting me. Licking me, yeah, they'll do that. They think I'm a mineral block, apparently. The leading of God, he leads us. And I forget, I had to get back to where I was going. So when I started being around the Morrison family, started watching them feed, and I said, hey, would you go down and, I remember the first time I had to go down and help castrate pigs. It was a troubling experience, I'm not going to lie. What do you mean I got to hold this pig upside down? No, don't they have little rubber bands and clamps? Nope, there's like, okay, the cats had a feast. Another reason I don't like cats. No. But anyhow, it was all new to me. And so, you know, being around the cattle, you know, I mean, my girlfriend's got to go out and feed the cattle. Guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be out there with my girlfriend. I have no idea what I'm doing, but she's going to help me. So over the years, you know, we got used to it, and you know, then when we moved back a couple times, you know, there were some things where, hey, could you feed the cattle for us? Oh, yeah, we'll go do that, no problem. So, and I'd watch Bob do it sometimes, and, you know, and then Angela, and they have a call. We won't try to do it, but it was just a call that those cattle knew. Now, here's the hilarious part. The cattle that we were feeding were not cattle she grew up with. Those cattle are long gone. The only person they really knew was Bob when he would give his call, or even Karen. He'd give the call. Usually the bull would lead the way because he's like, I got to get there for all these cows get in there and eat all that grain. And they'd get up there and all them cattle would start coming because they knew the voice. They knew the call. Over time, my truck would go back there enough when we were doing it. They knew his truck and anybody else's truck that was coming to feed them. You'd pull up, go down that long lane, and you'd see them cow. They're making a beeline, man. They're all they're like geese. You got one leading the way, and then the rest of them are behind them. And they come in there, and they just, they're bawling. Where's the food? You ain't fast enough. But those animals knew, because they were being led. They were being led by the voice. Hey, that little whoo call meant come and get it. No different than if you went out there and rang on a bell. Or in our case, if we were out playing at night in the summertime, we always ate dinner a little bit late. The floodlights. When you're in the country and the floodlights is all you got and they shut them off, they get your attention. Mom would flick them floodlights a couple times. Time to come in! We knew it was time to come in. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. If God is your shepherd, he's calling the shots. Animals, pigs are, all animals are strong-headed. I mean, I've always joked with Angela, I said, I don't know why anybody tries to show a pig. It's not a show. It's a cluster. Everybody's going wherever they want, and you're trying to go around with this board, and I'm like, hey, line them up and see who's got the best bacon. That's my opinion. But when David was saying that the Lord is my shepherd, and he says, but he leads me beside the still waters. It's easier to drink out of still waters than it is a babbling brook. Goes up your nose. I can tell you from experience. If you go to where the water is cool, the water is calm, you can put your face down and you can drink out of the brook. Go back to 3 real quick. I think there was something in there. One. And it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his sake. For his sake, not for yours. Because in the next verse, verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is David saying, you know, God's leading me through righteousness. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Again, he makes. He's calling the shots, not us. When God is calling the shots, life is a lot easier if we're obedient. And being obedient right then is the hardest thing to do sometimes. Because you're like, God, but I want to, I could do this. I know I can. I knew I could go to Ukraine. I knew I could preach. But I never had the peace, and I went anyhow and was miserable. I wasn't so glad to be back on U.S. soil when I came from overseas in 91. This time, I was like, I'm not leaving without you telling me, Jesus. I ain't doing that again. I did want the experience, but you know what? Didn't need to happen. Because that's not what God called me to do. Now, I do have some people that I know in Ukraine. We keep in touch best we can. My interpreter, she is in Armansk, which is in Russian territory now. Luda, they're still, and it's Austria, we determined. Vienna, Austria is where they're at, not Vienna, Switzerland. They're in Austria. But we can stay in touch. And we know about these things. And we were able to help, which I do have a video from the pastor, so I've just got to get it from my phone to there. So not all bad came out of it. It was just, I knew that wasn't my thing to do. It wasn't for me. Sometimes we do things even for a little bit. You know, I remember we did a vacation Bible boot camp. Some of you were there, you know, and Miss Brenda was still working as a nurse at that time, too. So it was kind of good. We had a nurse on hand who could take care of things because we played dodgeball with real, not with the dodgeballs, but and with adults. But I remember Ms. Brenda saying, I can't do this. It's not. I said, I get it. I didn't bring. We all got it. That was the last time we did it. But when people say, you know what, it takes an anointing sometimes to work with children, first off. And if you're an adult, a parent, you have the anointing for your children. That's why we ask you to help with your children. But sometimes you aren't anointed for that because he's not leading you there. I remember a preacher years ago, we heard he came in our church down there in North Carolina in 1992. And he said, nah, he was talking about being led. He said, not enough people being led today. They don't feel led. He says, I carry around a 45 bullet in my pocket. And he said, people don't feel led. I said, stick out your hand. And he puts it in, he said, now you have felt led. I thought, oh, that's great. Until I'm here, and I get it. Not everybody is led to do all things. We can all do some things. But if you aren't led, that's why when people say, I feel like God's calling me to the ministry. Are you sure about that? Well, I'm pretty sure. No, you better be sure, because it will eat you up and spit you out. That's why 1,500 churches a month are closing in this country. Oh, I feel God's calling me to preach. Preaching and pastoring are two different things. If God's calling you to preach, maybe he's called you to be an evangelist, to go around two churches. Or I knew one man, he was an awesome evangelist on the streets. I've met several people. He led me to the Lord. They said, did you know this man? I said, yeah, I did. He was my pastor at one time. Oh, he's such a good man. Just so you know, he's also the one that crossed the line with me. And they say, he was such a good man. He led me to Jesus. He showed me God's love. But the problem is, he was called to do that and not be the pastor. Because I've later found out that there was somebody else who said, God told me I was supposed to be the pastor, but he wouldn't fight him because he was older. He was more senior. I got news for you. That don't matter. When you're led to do something because God is telling you to do something, you need to do it. And we can always do right. We can always do good. If God tells you to give somebody $20 on the street, you give them $20. Don't argue with him. Well, what are they going to do? It's none of your business. If they go buy a pack of smokes, so be it. Maybe that pack of smokes will keep them from going out and killing somebody. I went to a barber, and she's a smokeaholic, man. She needed to smoke. And she had been a line. I walked into the thing, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going out and smoking a cigarette, and you're not getting your hair cut until I'm done. And I said, with that attitude, I don't want you cutting my hair until you're done. She laughed and got it. I'm like, I don't want you touching my hair. I want you to go out, get your little nicotine fix, and come back in calm. I like my ears where they're at. My grandma used to threaten to cut my ears off all the time. So six-year-olds shouldn't sit like a rock. Well, they should, because she told me she cut one off one time. I know it was a lie, but now, when you're six, you believe it. So David then goes around, he says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Who led David down the valley of the shadow of death? The same shepherd that led him through the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The same shepherd that led him by the still waters. God. Well, why would he take us through such a place? Well, where would the U.S. Marines be without Bella Wood? That's where we got the term devil dogs, because Marines fought like dogs possessed of the devil. That's what the Germans said about them. They passed the French army going in. The lieutenant from the French army said, retreat, retreat! Marine, I think it was Dan Daly, retreat, blank, we just got here. And they fought, and they fought, and they fought. And finally they got into those woods. Where would the Marines be without Iwo Jima? It's where we get the phrase, uncommon valor was a common virtue. I forget which admiral said it, but he said, this one battle has now guaranteed a Marine Corps for the next 200 years. Because they've been trying to get rid of us since day one. We don't need you. Well, there's only so many people willing to put up with the garbage. That's such a small crew. So where would we be without walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Oh, I'm such a strong, powerful Christian. So what have you faced? Well, I had a hangnail last week, and let me tell you what, it hurt like the dickens. Oh, okay, so, yeah, so you didn't have people going around telling lies about you? I mean, last week, I had somebody steal my grandkid's trampoline out of the yard. Well, it was our woods, but still, it's on my property. They made it to the neighbor's house. I can move when I have to. You ain't stealing my grandkid's stuff. By the way, the trampoline was fine. That was what my real beef was. If it had been mangled, I was like, hey, take it out. You helped me out. It just came apart in the tornado. Hey, all the parts were there. You've never faced anything. Never prayed for somebody in public. And let me tell you something. There's a time to do that and a time not to. If I pray for somebody in public, it's not to be an exhibitionist. I know people that, oh, you need to pray right there. No, I don't need their negativity. Jesus ran people out of the room because of it. And they were people who believed in God. Where do you think you're going to get when you're in a room full of unbelievers all the way? Well, when it happens, it'll be a witness. I'm sorry, I still disagree. And that's where we'll just leave it. But have you ever had to pray somebody else through? I mean, there's been some situations here we got made aware of that some of these people, I'm thinking, oh, dear God. And all I could do is intercede for them in the spirit, be praying in the spirit for them. Because I'm like, how would I react? How would I would want to rip somebody's ears off. And that's being mild. So I can imagine what that other person was going through. And what people closer to that situation were going through. We will go through stuff. You've got to be tested in your faith, or you're never going to build any strength. I mean, they've probably started football conditioning. Okay, so they've started. So you're going to see these guys out there rolling tractor tires, flipping them over, and doing all this stuff. I think they doing the ropes still? Got them ropes, working them ropes. That's all great and fine and dandy, but that's not the test. The test is their first scrimmage. Did they build strength, or were they just milking it? When you find out somebody's hit it's not work to them anymore, you change it up a little bit. We're going to add a little more work. I'm here to tell you, 7 pounds will kick anybody's butt if you hold it straight out. We were standing like this with our rifles. Drill instructor said, what is wrong with you guys? It's 7 pounds. Yeah, but we've been holding it for a half hour. Let me tell you right now, I could do 200 push-ups without breaking a sweat by that time. By the time we graduated, every one of us could. Start pushing. It was no big deal. So what did they do? They upped. They upped everything on us. We're not broke yet, but we're going to break you. Our faith has to be tested. Now, so being led. Let's look at an example of somebody being led. Genesis. Chapter, is it 12? This is Abram. Verse 1. My notes are up there, that's why I asked her. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. How do you show somebody something? You wanted to see my tractor the other day. I ain't seen your tractor. So what did I do? I led you to my shop. We were walking side by side, but I was leading. He didn't know where it was at. God's no different. He told Abram, I'm going to take you out of your land, and I'm going to take you to a country that I'm going to show you. Now, Abram started off in the land of Ur. Ur is, I'm not 100% sure which country, whether it's Kuwait or if it's Iraq. It's like right in that neighborhood. It like, might even be on the line. But it is down in the Persian Gulf area. They had left, he had left with his father Terah, and they went all the way up to Haran, which is in modern day Syria. And that's where Terah died. And this is where God said, now get out of your father's house. Abraham was told to leave everything. In other words, he didn't walk away with his father's possessions. There was still another brother. And Abram left. Now at that point, a famine kicked in. God said, I'm going to show you a land. They went to Egypt. You know, we look at Egypt today and we're like, why would anybody go to Egypt during a famine? There's only a little strip in Egypt that it can even grow anything. It wasn't the case back then. As a matter of fact, it wasn't the case in the land of Kuwait and Iraq. I believe it's the Akkadians, and I forget how many thousands of years ago, a drought came through and it stopped the bed of life. It was a fertile area. The Tigris and the Euphrates flowed through there. And the only thing that's green is right along the Tigris and the Euphrates. We're spoiled in this country. You know, you see pictures from California right now, and it's just dry. And we look out, and you know, we could use a little rain right now. We got some corn that's saying, hey, I'm a little thirsty right now. Give me a sip. I'm not hurting, but I'm getting a little thirsty. It's green. It's beautiful. All we see of Israel, of Egypt, of Iraq, and Kuwait, and all that is desert. But at one time in life, it was beautiful. It was green. There were trees, which, by the way, is a huge point. Trees do bring the rain. I do have to get my notes now. Just to keep me straight on where I was at. So when God said, I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you, he was leading Abraham. Abraham was being led. Not driven. Led. Now, somebody tells me, Art, where all the land you can see, all the land you can walk on is yours. You just got to walk. I think I'm going to become driven to do that, right? Because my kids are going to inherit it, my grandkids are going to, and my generations, they're going to inherit that land. But Abraham was led, not driven. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He'd go camp out here for a while, go down here, oh, we're going to Egypt now. And, you know, the story of Egypt shows us a little bit of character flaw with Abraham that he passed down to Isaac. Oh, well, you know, God ordained. So God ordained Abraham to be a coward and a liar? No. He did not. It's a character flaw, people. Kenneth Copeland has character flaws. Rod Parsley has character flaws. I've got character flaws. I just about showed them last week. Took me 2 hours to wind down after getting the trampoline back. But I was nice. We all have character flaws. Peter had character flaws. John had character flaws. Paul had character flaws. Believe it or not, she's got character flaws. I was not amening that. I just pointed it out. We all have them. It's when we think that we're perfect, that we walk on water. Some of us wouldn't have got along with Jesus because of our flaws. You know, he made a metaphor. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Man, his own brothers walked away. We don't want none of that, God. No way, dude. We ain't eating your flesh. What do you take us for? Heathens? However, having said all this, people can give you words all day long till they're blue in the face about what God's going to do with you. There's something Abraham proved. Obedience is required with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you have the choice. You do not have to do it. You're going to regret it. I can promise you that much. See, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to go to Ukraine. It's a good thing. Good things aren't always God things. Something like that. Because we've lived by one adage around here with this church. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. God, you want us to have this building? You're going to provide the money. We got in here, no money down. $3,000 in a building fund, signed a land contract, took everything over, and paid the thing off. We own this. Because of God. And not one time did we miss a payment. Every time we stepped out in faith, God matched us. But because we were being led. Because, you know, in the back of our heads, oh, it'd be just so much simpler just to build, right? Build what you want right then. Because it is kind of a pain in the butt to remodel something. Something that's already existing. So much had to be tore out, then we had to put stuff in. But God's been extremely good to us. Because of obedience. Because we were obedient. Abraham was obedient and God was good to him. Now, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. He said he brought him. He said, come on, Abraham, let's go outside. He led him outside so that he could show him an example. He was led. This is where God starts saying, I'm going to have your children more numerous than that. And if you haven't been outside lately in this week, the stars were glorious. By the way, planets were in alignment up until tonight. Yeah, they will be up tonight. All the major planets will be in alignment. Next time this happens is in 2040. And no, I don't believe that there's any kind of, because that was the thing I always looked for in a kid. People said, Jesus is coming back, planets are going to align. What happens to the planets? All the world goes, the whole universe goes into chaos. Obviously not. They've been aligned all week. But Abraham was led. This time he's physically led out. Because the angel of the Lord is there, and he said, look. This is what your children will be like. Now, verse 18 through 21. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt, the Nile. This is the land that Israel should have today. God gave it to him. By the way, Abraham was here. God had told him, wherever your feet step is the land I will give you. Like I said, somebody tells me that, I'm on a walkabout, baby. I'm going to make sure I got new shoes, carrying them with me, and we're going to walk. And this is what happened. To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the great river, the Euphrates, that runs right through Babylon, right through Iraq. Now the Euphrates, if you're not aware, is the western river. The Tigris is the eastern river. And the Tigris is where Nineveh is at. Think about Jonah when you think about that for just a minute. Jonah's over here in the Mediterranean, man. Nineveh's all the way over here. He gets puked up on a beach over here on the Med. He's got to go all the way across there now. Might have been able to catch a caravan if he'd have left like he was supposed to instead of fleeing. Back up just 1 second so I can finish that back part. To the river Euphrates. Okay, I guess I was done. All right, next. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. This is all the land. I think, this one didn't say Hittites. Did it? You're looking into the, yeah, yours says it. Did that say the Hittites? Did it? Okay, I just went through it so quick. Because I wanted to point out, that's Turkey. God gave Israel Turkey, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, part of Saudi Arabia, part of Egypt. All of that is oil-rich country. All Israel has right now is a piece no bigger than New Jersey. They should own that whole area because it belongs to Abraham. Some will argue, well, Ishmael was a descendant of Abraham, and so they're... No, I guess you can look at that like that, but the covenant was with Isaac, not with Ishmael. And this was part of the covenant. So God had given that to him because Abraham was led, not driven. Otherwise, yeah, he would have. You know doggone well, he would have been walking everywhere he could be. He wouldn't be stopping. Ain't no stopping by no terebinth tree. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm 86. I got some ground to cover. Don't know who's inheriting it yet. But I got to cover it. I think he was maybe 77 when God called him out, I think is what it was. I want to stop there. Because we're not done with God leading people. And I'm telling you this, folks, this message has a purpose. God's leading me to leave. No, he's not. So many people, oh, God wants me to leave. No, he don't. I'll just tell you that right now. Very few people, as God told me, they're supposed to go. There's been a few I prayed out. I ain't gonna lie, they're troublemakers. Like I said, I'm a good guy until you cross. When you start hurting people, start stealing from my people. Normally, I wouldn't have gave a rat's butt about that trampoline. You stole that from my grandkids. Now, I don't know if Justin ever said whether he was scared or not. He wasn't scared at all. I mean, it really was. The guy looked at me, got out of his car, and I said, "You're taking that back. You just stole that off my property. That's my grandkids." "I'm so sorry. Why did you take it?" Yeah, exactly. If it had been in the middle of the road, okay, I'd have given it to you. It was on my hill. And the reason it was still there is because I was going to have to cut the tree down to get it out. That's how hard that man worked to get it out. I'm like, "Well, I'll just cut the tree down." I ain't dragging it back up that hill. It's too steep. But I'm saying all that to tell you that's how I feel about people who are here, my brothers and my sisters, my friends. When the devil comes after you, that's how I feel. "Well, you know, Pastor, when are you ever going to be at the church studying? You're never going to find me here at the church studying." I'll just tell you that right now. I don't study in that office very often. If I have to do some serious studying, I do it in my chair at the house, or I go to my office at the house. If I'm here, I'm doing something on the building, because God led me this year. I had two people I was doing work for, and God said, "You have to be done." I said, "I'm done. No more outside work. I'll only work at the church." And that's that. Can I tell you something? I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. My joy. And then God said, "Oh, by the way, you don't have to work there 7 days a week." That's what I did from July to November last year. I was here every day. It sucked. I worked 3 days here. 4 days here. Can I tell you how happy I am? How blessed I am to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. I'm going to share this real quick. Because just so people understand, it's not that I don't think I shouldn't be out. I talk to people all the time about God. I pray with people. I talk to them. Last thing I tell them is that I'm a pastor until it has to come out. We keep the religious spirits at bay. After that, their guards go up and they become somebody else. There was a while back, a couple years ago, and I'm just now getting to the point where I'm able to walk in it. As I've said, most of the pressure has come from pastors and friends who are preachers that I know. "Well, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need to be out here. You need to be doing this. You need to be, you know, how are you outreach? What's your outreaches?" Rob invites somebody. "Oh, you need to be better than that." No, I don't. No, I don't. God's never told me. We paid for a billboard for months. Not one person came from that billboard. That was $600 a month. And at that point, that was a lot of money. And I said, "God, should I be doing more?" God said, "What were you doing when you were 10, 11, 12, 13? Summertime, I'd be working at the church. I'd mow the yard. Wintertime, I'd show up whenever there was a work day. Dad was gone. Said I worked at the church when I was 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, God told me, he said, "You were paying your dues. You've already got more years in ministering than some of these guys who feel the need to be out every day. I got to preach 500 times a year or I'm unsuccessful." You know what? If you get one thing out of this message today, it's successful. And what I'm trying to push you is to understand, don't be driven, be led. Led by the Holy Spirit. Life is so much more peaceful when I quit comparing myself to somebody else. I'm not somebody else. I'm me. I don't like doing the same thing every time the same way. Ask anybody who has to read my notes. My handwriting changes 5 times. I'm like, they better not ever put me on one of those tests to check my handwriting to see if I'm a psycho or anything. I am not passing. I can write real tiny. I used to do that on purpose. I'm so sorry to you teachers. I did that on purpose. You want 500 words? You're counting every one of them. That's my magnifying glass. You know, I used to have to write sentences all the time. Anybody else remember writing sentences? There is a way I developed quite well that is a quicker way to get it done. It had to be single line, usually about 500 sentences. But I could tape two pencils together at the perfect angle. I could get double the sentences. It worked until the bottom pencil went dull quicker. But we're going to stop there. Because being led by the Spirit is more important than being driven by success. Listen, some of you are out there right now, you're listening to what other people think success is. They're not successful. You know what? I have 31 years of marriage to the same woman. That's not because we're perfect. It's because we chose to follow what God was leading us to do. And I know many of you in here, you've been divorced and remarried. Praise God, you're here now. You're married now. But I have so many people that they're so focused on success that they forgot their spouse. I got to get better at more education. I got to have more and more and more and more. Is there ever an end to education, teachers? No, you're always learning. How many degrees can you handle? Well, as many as I can get financed. You know, after all, they're going to pay for them, all right? How about you get the one that you need to do your job and don't worry about what everybody else says you need to be doing? Because in all honesty, if I had done what everybody told me what I should have done, I might have retired from the Marine Corps because I was a good Marine. But we wouldn't be together. It's almost a guarantee. Oh, I don't think you don't understand. The Marine divorces are off the charts. I was due back for another deployment. They were getting ready to pull me. But I was short, and they couldn't. So I said, I'm out of here. And I say, I might have retired. Reason being, I can tell you on two instances, I almost lost my life. And Motor T had more people killed than anybody during Desert Storm. Because when you're driving with a teeny tiny little 24-volt light bulb through a hole that big, people got run over. We had two people killed at my unit while I was there. Two. Accidents. So, I might have retired. But by not being led by the Holy Spirit, God's not obligated to protect me. That's what people need to understand. Well, I'm not going to do it. God's under no obligation whatsoever to protect you. But if you're doing what He's doing, He said to do, He'll keep that helicopter in the air. Oh, I take it back three times. He'll keep that taxi from hitting you. And He'll keep that machine gun that the barrel just came off in your face from blowing up in your face. Maybe the salmonella, I don't know. I thought I was dying. I'm just telling you, the devil will try to kill you. That's the valley of the shadow of death, but God was leading me the whole way. And along the way, I got all this great experience. Found out I wasn't the man I thought I was. And I got her. I met the farmer's daughter. I'm done. Stand up. If I don't shut up, I never will. All right, now that I got my vocal cords lubricated up, I got another retina. be praying this week for this country. Roe v. Wade, huge. People that were, you need to be more tolerant, aren't so tolerant right now. We found out their true colors. Once you oppose something they really want, it's a different deal. Yeah, they're being driven. And we need to understand this world, the evil is going to show up even more. But right now, I believe God's got something in store for his church. And we have to be ready. And by the way, it usually means smile to that person. Guys, be careful if you're smiling at another woman and vice versa. It can be misinterpreted. But you know, guys, smile and nod at the guy walking. I had an 81-year-old man stop me the other day getting out of my truck at Lowe's. And he stopped me and just talking. He said, I think he was in the Army. What were you with? Huh? What'd you do? And I said, well, I was a motor T mechanic. I was like, okay. I mean, can't miss the Semper Fi on the back of my truck. Wearing a T-shirt that said Marines. And then we were like, oh, you're a Marine! Yeah. See, he was in Berlin when the wall was being built. But it meant the world to him to talk to me. It was hot. Few minutes to talk to somebody. Mental world. Show kindness. We'll start there. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your leading of your Holy Spirit. That even though we may go through the valley of the shadow of death, Father, we know you are with us. David said, for I know, I will not fear that evil, for I know you are with me, Lord. So now, Father, I pray that you help us all. As we're learning more about being led, help us to listen to your still small voice telling us to lay down under that tractor and look up. Because, Father, I didn't tell him I can't buy that socket and replace it. You blessed me, Father, by listening. And I thank you for that. Now, Father, I pray right now that you're helping each and every one of us here today to listen to your voice, that still small voice in the midst of the screaming and the yelling. Lord, that is saying, find me, find my peace. Do this, don't do that. So, Lord, I bless these people with that. Father, I pray right now that you help them to discern your voice out of all the others that are screaming. And Father, I do bless them. I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that you bless the ones who are getting ready to go to work next week, this following week. Lord, bless their work. Help them through it, Lord. I know it's not fun, but you're going to help them. Lord, whatever we have to do, Father, I pray that you move. You lead us, you guide us. Father, first of all, easier way to do it, show us. In Jesus' name, amen.